like to welcome those that have been out a while and come back to be with us today. We appreciate you coming out. Again, we want you just to feel free at home here at the house. And I had a couple announcements I need to make. One being Sister Jessie Boyle wanted to send her thank you to the church, to those that worked in helping get her stairway worked out and replaced. It is a blessing to her, and she certainly was appreciative of all the effort and all the work that was done from the church. Also, remember the Vision Virginia collection that's going on for the next couple of weeks. If you write a check for that to help with the ministry, just be sure to note that on your check. And also the other thing, those on the Operation Christmas Child Committee, be sure to remember we'll meet a few short minutes after the service here in the Fellowship Hall. And if you would, don't forget next Sunday is the picnic in the park, if you will. There'll be information about that on your bulletin as well. Also, be watching your bulletin for information about Samaritan's Purse coming up. We'll do a packing party this year. I think we're going to try and do a meal to help raise funds for the shipping cost. And then the collection week, the national collection week is November 14th through the 22nd. And we'd love to see you participate in helping in that ministry. Again, that's sending the shoebox, but it's also sending the gospel. They call them gold boxes, but the understanding for the acronym is Gospel Opportunity, because each box has the gospel message in it. So it's an outreach to try to save souls for Christ. I think that's all the listings I had.
Two things.
Go ahead, brother.
This morning we'll be in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And thank you to everyone that came out this morning for our high attendance Sunday school. We were able to have 65. So great. Praise God for that. And also, we're missing a pair or set of van keys for the new van. So if you know who has them, or you don't have to tell on them, just get it and bring it back, okay? And we won't punish nobody, all right? So, okay.
And I know it wasn't me this time.
It's hard to own a van go if the van ain't got keys. But if we could at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started in our service. Father, we do thank you and we praise you today for all your blessings. Lord, I thank you for each and every one that's put forth the effort to be here today. We pray for those that may be watching on Facebook or whatever social media. And Lord, we just pray as we come together as a corporate body that we would truly worship you today. That's why we're here, is to worship you, to honor you. And Father, we just pray your will would be done in each and everything said and done in this place. We ask you to be with those now as they sing praises to you. Father, be with our pastor as he proclaims your word. May we leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of God today. So may your will rule and reign. In Jesus' holy and precious name I ask. Amen.
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 Good morning, everybody. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to echo what Brother Paul says. And let's all stand and sing a couple songs. And we're going to start with number 188.
Sweetest name of mortal time.
Okay, 540. I just love the words of this one right here.
Thank you. Good singing choir, and good morning, everyone. Thank you, Brother Ken and Sister Ernestine. We will be in the book of Acts, chapter 2, this morning. You know, when you watch sports or something like that, many times there's the player of the game, you know what I mean, the standout. Dick Vitale calls him the PTP, or the primetime player. And as I was watching this choir this morning, they were doing so good, but there was one of them that really stood out. And that's Miss Pansy. She was working that fan with one hand, and she was reading that book on the other, and she just was keeping it going through there. I know how you feel, sister. I know how you feel. No, it is good to be in the house with you this morning in a place of worship and praise. And again, we will be in the book of Acts, chapter 2. But if you're watching by Facebook or if you're listening over the radio, we don't believe it's chance or accident that you're here. We believe in the sovereignty of God and that it's a purpose. He's got a purpose and a plan for bringing you our way this morning. And we may not know what your need is, but God does, and we're thankful that He's able to meet all your needs. And if you don't remember anything about today as you turn into Acts chapter 2, please do remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. I was out yesterday in a big crowd, and you get street preachers and stuff like that that's out there, and one of them was holding up a sign that says, God's love is conditional. And they wanted you to engage them. But I disagree. God's love is not conditional. His salvation is conditional. There's only one condition where you can be saved, and that's to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the love of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He died for the... God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The love of God is unconditional. Salvation, if you're not saved today, there is a condition, but Jesus has done met that condition, and he's already overcome that condition. The condition is perfection, but He's greater than that. And so if you are listening or watching or here, remember nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Amen? And we need to be imagining great things. We really do. Did any of you... did you read the article about Ann Graham Lotz this week where she spoke at a conference and she compared us to Judah, how that the favor and the blessings of God has been poured out on America just as it was with Judah, but we're rejecting it and we're pushing it away. And we're seeing that in our country right now, amen. But God is great and He is good and He does all things well. And He's not wringing His hands. He's not doing anything like that. But everything is going according to His plan. So as you're turning to Acts chapter 2, and next week, Ken, please do come to the park. Invite people out there. I've made a promise that I won't go past 12. So they're starting at 10:30 just so I won't. I mean, that's how important eating at 12 is. So I'm just cutting up. But do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning before we go any further?
I'd like to thank God for allowing me to be here.
Thank you, Brother Danny. Thank you, Brother Danny. Anyone else?
I'd like to say I'm glad to be here. I had a cold bath.
Mm-hmm.
I drank all the
coffee when
I was
eating. At least it wasn't Pepsi.
Yeah.
Amen. We all do, sister. And He's just a whisper away, is what the Bible teaches us. He says He's just a. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. If you knew how sweaty I get up here, it's amazing. I mean, you can see through my shirt lots of times by the time I'm done. But thank you for your honesty and that God is good and that Christ is able. Anyone else this morning? Friday. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did I hear another one? Praise God. You got something going on with your voice, ain't you? Allergies. Anyone else? Yes, brother. We'll go with Sister Donna first. Go ahead, sister. Amen. Amen. Brother. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a... Amen. Amen. If I seem a little out of kilter today, it's because I went to a UT game last night. So forgive me for that and forgive them for that as well, okay? But no, Amy's still down there. We had a wonderful time this weekend just being with Maddie. If nothing else, just being able to be with Maddie. But I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. We'll be in the book of Acts chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 38. And that Christ is ready to do something at Thomas Village. That's the title for this morning's message. Christ is ready to do something at Thomas Village. Let's begin in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this time and this privilege that you've allowed us to come together as your body in this community, as Thomas Village Baptist Church, as brothers and sisters, as vessels, as members of something greater than we are individually. And God, I just ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures, my inadequacies, Lord. And I plead the blood of Jesus. I ask you to come in and just breathe through this place, Holy Spirit. Father God, I thank you that you saw my need and that you called me and you've saved me and you keep me. And Heavenly Father, Lord, let us be mindful today as we consider the great things that you're wanting to do in our church and the great things you're wanting to do with us as individuals. God, and the great things that you're wanting to do for the glory of your Son, Jesus. And it's in His name I pray, amen and amen. God, Christ is ready to do something in Thomas Village. This morning, and Lord willing, we'll get through it real quick, but I want to discuss and talk about the importance of the local church. I want us to talk about, as we looked at the high attendance Sunday this morning, and we're trying to get more people in here. Why are we doing that? Is it because as a pastor it would make me look better and maybe I get a raise? Is it because we don't want the pews empty? Is it because that, well, it's an American tradition, by golly, and we're going to get people in church? No. No. The church is of major importance to Christ Jesus. It's of a major importance to the community. It's of a major importance to the people that are members of that church. And it is intended to help build the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to be working on our part of the wall, if I was to compare it to Nehemiah and how that works. We've got certain area that God's called us to work in at Thomas Village. He's got certain areas, certain ministries, certain people that He wants us to reach, and other people He's not called to that. He's called Thomas Village to it. And so I just want us to look at some elements that we've got to have if we expect to grow. And when I say grow, I'm not just talking about numerically. I'm talking about spiritually. And if we're growing spiritually, then everything else, if we can look at Christ, if we can go to our knees in prayer and say, God, I'm doing everything that you've called me to do, then it don't matter if there's three people in here. You know, we're doing what God's called. I want to read you some facts this morning, all right? Stats. Let me read you some stats this morning. According to May 12, 2022, an article in the ChristianityToday.com by Kate Shelnut, the Southern Baptist Convention has lost over 1 million members in the last 3 years. In 2018, the SBC was at 14.8 million. And of 2022, it was at 13.7 million. Now, all of that's not from COVID. There's some bad things that's come out about that was allowed to go on in the SBC. If you might have heard, there's some news come out about a pastor in Abingdon in the past week. And I just want to say this. I know that members of Thomas Village Baptist Church aren't eliminated from that kind of stuff happening as well. And it may have been in this church or some other church, and it may have been a kinfolk that happened to be choir leader, youth pastor, associate pastor. But if that's true, and you've been scarred by the way someone's treated you, please come to me or to someone, and they would be more than willing to help you. But also, a lot of it is due to COVID. Things just changed after COVID, or things changed in the middle of COVID. And I want to tell you this, it's not never going to be normal again. Not never. That's, you chalk that down, write it down. It's never going to be normal again. And so we've got to learn how to live in a new normal, right? We've got to learn how to live in a place where there is a, feels like there's a heaviness over our country right now. I mean, if you're a believer, there feels like something is pulling at your faith. Something is pulling at your drive, your want to. You know you're saved. You've got that feeling. You're assured of your salvation, but just that fire ain't there. Well, my goodness, for 3 years we couldn't throw a log on it, right? We couldn't put a log on it. Listen to this. In another article in Pew Research by Justin Norty from May the 22nd of 2002, says that it shows that 90% of American churches or houses of worship are back open to ministry and service either with no restrictions or open with modified restrictions having to deal. But 90% of churches are back going. However, listen to this, 1 in 5, quote unquote, religious individuals who would typically go to church before COVID say that they are substituting viral services for in-person services. That means 40% of people that went to church before, they're watching it now. Now listen to this one. Evangelicals, meaning Pentecostals, Baptists, you know, that kind of group. Evangelicals say that 21% have been attending virtually, and another 10% of each evangelical say that they've not even been watching or attending. So what? That's 31%. And then listen, churches and house of worship, we're just going to go overall, Protestant, evangelicals, all of that, says that the church in the past 3 years has seen a 33% decline in attendance. COVID has given us a lick, ain't it? COVID has put a whoop on us, but praise God. As I was reading this and I got to thinking, and I'm looking at our country, think about this. America seems to be falling faster and faster every day, don't it? I mean, it's snowballing. 5 years ago, we couldn't define marriage. They didn't want us to define marriage. Now, they're not wanting to define a woman. They're not wanting to define a man. They're changing. Praise God, words have meaning. Amen. And you know how I am. I like to look up words. And whether humanity tries to change the meaning of the word, it don't matter, because God's already laid down the standard. He's already defined everything. And woe be unto those who call evil good and good evil. The breakdown of the two-parent home Absentee fathers. The loss of common sense as people left rural life and farming stuff, you know. We learned about the birds and the bees walking around in the cow field and stuff like that, you know. I mean, that's the way life was. Now we got to teach it to them in kindergarten. Morality and God has been taken out of our school systems. The wrong is being presented as right, and right is being presented as wrong. Notice the Ten Commandments taken off the public square. You see how it's beginning to roll like a snowball, ain't it? Let me ask you this. Considering in the past 3 years, churches have seen a 33% drop-off in attendance, right? What will America be like when there is no community church? We're there. I mean, we're looking at it. It's happening. Many churches right now are on their last legs. And praise God, I think we're in a place, and I've read a sermon. If you keep notes, I probably preached from this passage back in 2017, if you write that in there. And I was looking at that, and it said right there, best days are ahead. Amen. God, praise God, He's not changed the vision yet. Thomas Village's best days are ahead, and that means that our best days are ahead. But as I look at these numbers, it tells me two things. That there is a disconnect and a lack of biblical understanding in those who profess Christ and their understanding of the church. Professing American Christians do not realize how much Jesus loves His church. And the second thing is that personal evangelism and outreach has taken a backseat to comfort and personal preference. As I read the scriptures and thought about our society, I couldn't help but think about Matthew 24, verses 12 through 13, because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be delivered. You remember we talked about last week over there in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more as you see that day approaching. And then he talked about how we can't repeatedly be sinful, you know, that we're just trampling on the blood of Christ. In Thessalonians, listen to what he said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come. What day? When Christ returns, the day of the Lord. That day shall not come, except there first come a great falling away, and that the man of sin may be revealed, the son of perdition. That's talking about the Antichrist. And I believe he's on the scene right now. I'm not saying he's going to jump up tomorrow. But I mean, America and the world is looking for somebody who's got answers right now. And anybody that could step up and say this, hey, let's do this, and then prove a little bit of it, hook, line, and sinker, buddy. Just snatch it and we're ready. But remember I talked about there's a disconnect between modern Christians and the love of the church that Christ has. Listen at this. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I also say to you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or the forces of Hades, shall not power over it. They shall not overpower it. Now I want to talk about the word church there, because we're used to that word. Every religious building we pass is a church. And now they're mosques and there's synagogues and there's all these things. But what does the word church mean? You know, this is the first use of the word church in all of the New Testament. And Jesus establishes it. He says, I'm the gates of hell, I'm going to build my church, personal property. It's mine. It's not anybody else. I claim it. I build it. I'm going to die for it. Everything about it belongs to me. But yet, on your profession, Peter, and on your profession, whosoever, I'm going to make you a part of that church. And guess what? You're more than a conqueror. You're a victor. Hell's going to come against you, but it will not defeat you. And praise God, the victory's already been won as a member and a body of my church. The church in the Greek is ekklesia. Listen what it means. The assembly. Isn't that what we are today? We're assembling of people. A congregation. We really call ourselves that. No, were you in the congregation today? It's a place of meeting for those who have been called and brought out. You remember Scripture says, it wasn't in it, but we studied it in my class, that we're called in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I think it says that you're a peculiar people, a chosen race, a holy nation. You know what holy means? Holy means to be set apart and dedicated for service. When God called the children of Israel out of Egypt and He led them out, you know what He did? He called them out and He set them apart so all the Moabites, Levites, and all the otherites that was out there could look on them, and they're different from all the pagan people. They live different. They act different. And guess what? That is the church. It's not these four walls. Thank God for our campus. We have a beautiful campus, and God has blessed us. We need to be making sure it's used. And I was so proud last Sunday night as we had almost 50 in our Awana. But we are the chosen. Amen. If you're one of the chosen in Christ Jesus, say amen. 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 Say it like you mean it. Amen. All right, there we go. I am a chosen child of God. Hallelujah. And then the next verse. Think about this one, because Jesus, remember, that was the first use of ecclesia, the first time that the church was ever mentioned, and He said, it's mine, okay? And I'm establishing it. Some churches believe that it's Peter. No, He didn't establish it on Peter. He established it on the confession that Peter made. You are the Son of God. But listen, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, it says this, He, Jesus, did this to present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or without wrinkle or anything else, but holy and blameless. Look at this. What was He saying there? Well, I jumped a page is what I did. But think about this. What does it say about Jesus? It says that, husbands, you're to love your wife like what? As Christ loved the church. Now, I want to just ask you this. Now, if He's willing to die for the church and He says, okay, big boy, I want you to be willing to die for your life. I want you to love her that much. Do you think it's important to Him? It's very important, because what I just read to you in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, He said that He died for it and He loved it and He washed it up and made it clean. You know why? Because He's coming back to get it. John chapter 14, verse 3, it says, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Church, I'm going to bring you home. It's going to come home. And we can't forget 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 7. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him in the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. The church will rise. And we'll be with Him. There'll be no more tears, no more sin. But I want you to say this. Who wants to go to church if you don't want to go to church here? There's some other things. And when you know, the old saying, and I've heard, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I agree with that. Just like you can't sit in a garage and become a vehicle. But can I tell you this? You cannot be saved without being a member of the church. And when I say that, what I mean is the universal church. Some call it the Catholic Church, not the denomination, but the idea of the whole unit. From Adam all the way to the last man that will ever be saved, that is the church universal. It is the the forming of the universal church, the ancient undivided Christian church, the historical church, the modern church, and the church that is to come. That's what He's coming back for. But I want you to notice something else. Now that word ecclesia, church, is used around 114 times in the New Testament. And I know for a fact, I didn't count every one of them. I got up to half and I stopped because counting ain't my thing. At least 57 times. 57 times when the word church or ecclesia is mentioned, it's mentioning the local body of Christ. I would go to say it's 80%, and if I need to, I'll read it. But I know at least half of it is the local church. Listen at this. The seven churches in Revelation, Ephesians, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, you know what? They're real churches. Now we put them in prophecy and we put them out there and they're this imaginary thing that's up there and we, you know, all that. No, it was real. Those things that were going on, they were written letters to them. Paul wrote his letters to a lot of them. Remember, he wrote to Philippi and he wrote to Ephesus. And then think about this, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, as well as the letters that John wrote and Peter wrote were to local churches. And what would the local church do? They'd get it, they'd pass it on. They'd read it, take it to the church, pass it on. And this is why were they doing that? Because they understood something. They understood that God is so awesome that the individuals in that church, He just don't want to save them. He just doesn't want to bring them up to heaven. The day we got saved, if all that was about living with Him forever, He'd have took us on then. He wants to use us in His kingdom. He wants us to help grow. He says, I'm going to do it through you. I'm going home. Remember, He said, I'm going back to heaven. But even greater things will you do in my name. You know what He said? The best days is yet to come. Best days is yet to come, boys. And isn't that awesome? That's an awesome thought. And before we get into the sermon, there's one more thing. I think we miss how important the local house of worship was to our Lord and Savior during His lifetime. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how much time He spent in the house of worship? Listen to this. Now, they call it the synagogue. But guess what synagogue means? Assembly. Church, what does it mean? Those that are assembled. Those that are called out. It's a meeting place or a congregation in the Jewish culture. Well, the church hadn't been built yet, so He had to go. Listen, Matthew 4:23. Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news. Where was He teaching? House of worship, wasn't He? Where the congregation was. And healing every disease and sickness among the people. And then if you look in chapter 9, verse 35, chapter 12, verse 9, chapter 13, verse 54, every one of those talks about Jesus being in the synagogue. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went to Capernaum straight away on the Sabbath day, and He entered into where? Synagogue. And He taught. Then look in Mark 1:39. Mark 3:1, Mark 6:2. Every one of them, you'll see He's in the church. He's in the synagogue, the house of worship. Luke 4:15. He was teaching in their synagogues, being acclaimed by everyone. Then look again in 4:33, 4:38, 4:35, 6:6, 13:10. And in John 6:59, these things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. And look, John's the least one that has Him in the synagogues, only in 6:59 and 18:20. But at least 16 times in the four Gospels that we are told that Jesus purposely made His way to the synagogue for the study of the Word of God. Amen. What does Christian mean? Christ-like. To walk like Christ. To resemble Christ. You reckon He would come to church if He was on the world today? I think He might. And then not to mention about the temple, when He would go to the temple, because they had special holidays, remember? Matthew 21:14, the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple complex, and He healed them. Jesus liked going to worship. He liked praising. He liked studying. He liked being with other people. He liked to be in the place of the congregation and the assembly. And so today, I love the church, and I hope you love the church, and I do believe, and I hopefully you love this church. If you don't, I pray to God you'll find one. Find one you can get excited about to go to. But there's four things that in this passage in the book of Acts that I think that we need to have, that we must have, as we know that God is ready to do something here. And these are going to be simple, and you're going to be like, Brian, why did you take so long to get to this part? You could have just went through that. Well, there's a purpose. I may not know it, but He does. So listen to this. Point number one, Thomas Village, as Thomas Village as a church must keep Jesus as the head of the church. Amen? Thomas Village must keep Jesus as the head of the church. You know what? A lot of churches say that Jesus is the head, and that's not so. He's just a stamp that they put over it, and then the people decide to do what they want to or what they don't want to. But hallelujah, I believe, and I've walked this ground, and I've poured oil over this ground, and I've prayed, God, either show me that it's your church or you change it and make it your church. And I think He's doing it. Listen, it says that Peter said, repent. Be baptized. And He said only one name to do it in, and that name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. Like I said, we will never change the message. We may need to change the box we present Him in, like a little different music or a different program like we're doing with the children in the Gospel Project in our Sunday school. But we're going to give folks Jesus as long as we can give Jesus, as long as we're allowed to give Jesus, and then we, God willing, we'll have the boldness to continue to give Him when they say we ain't allowed. Amen? Hey, I bet you got some heroes in the Bible, don't you? And in the New Testament, these are some of mine. John the Baptist, Simon Peter, the Apostle Paul, John the Beloved, John the Revelator. You know, listen, but listen what they said. John the Baptist, chapter 3, verse 33 in John. It says, He must increase. And I must decrease. When's the last time you said, Lord, make me smaller so you can be bigger? Let me be less seen so you can be more seen. Listen to what Peter said. But Peter and John answering them, this is where they've been at the gate called Beautiful. Remember, they got the man up and he jumped up and all of that and his little withered legs. And they were standing before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin said, don't you talk about Jesus no more. And they said, whether it's right in the eyes of God for us to listen to you or rather to listen to God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. My goodness! They said, we know Jesus, we've met Him, and what He's done in our presence, and what we've heard out of Him, and what we've seen out of Him. My life nor my eternity will ever be the same, and I just can't quit talking about Him. I go, amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That should be our role models, right? Right? Listen, the Apostle Peter said this, hey, or Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 13, he said, when I came to you, no, that's the next one. He said that we, the one who boasts must boast in Christ alone. In Christ alone. And then he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 2, for I did not think it was a good idea to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What are they saying? There's only one business I'm about, and that's about Jesus. There's only one thing I'm selling. Matter of fact, I ain't even selling, and I'm giving it away, and that's Jesus. His mercy, His grace, and His gospel. And the world needs it right now. They need it because it is dark. It is dark. These men were evangelists. They were missionaries. They were church planters. They were teachers. And what did they do? And they're some of the most successful. Wouldn't you agree? They're some of the most successful in the history of Christianity. And they did it all by the name of Jesus. Remember how we saw that Jesus loves the church. Listen at this verse. 1 Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. And Jesus is the head of the church, the body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. So that in everything, in our lives, in our church, Jesus is to be the supreme. Nothing else should go to the standard that He is. And you know what? It should be like an elephant to an ant to the second thing most important. Number two. We got time. Number two. Thomas Village, we must keep Scripture front and center. Thomas Village, we must keep Scripture front and center. That's what I love about Awana. It's all about Scripture. It's all about learning the Word. Listen there in verses 42. These people, that these 3,000 that got saved at Pentecost, what were they about? They said, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. You know what that means? They sat down and let the apostles teach them. They let the truth of the apostles that they received from the Holy Spirit that fell on them, tied with the witness that they had by watching Jesus Christ and walking with Jesus Christ, they eagerly allowed the apostles to pour in them the truth of God. And listen, we're told this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? If you say you're not growing in your relationship with Christ, may I ask you, are you reading? Are you studying His Word? And when I say study, I'm not saying read a chapter a day. I'm saying get you about 3 verses and then take you 15, 20 minutes and look them words up, because words have meaning. And the definitions of words will get you more excited than the words themselves sometimes. Jesus said this in John 6:63. It says, "The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit, they are life, but they are some among you who don't believe." Listen to what Paul says to Timothy about the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God. Who's the supreme? Jesus Christ. So Scripture is coming down from Him. It needs to be important. And it is profitable for teaching, for correction, for training, and for rebuking or for pointing out mistakes. And righteousness. 1 Timothy 3:17. So that the man or woman of God can be completely equipped for every good work. You remember, we are His workmanship, created in His image for works that He had prepared before us. And if we want to make sure we're doing those good works, then we gotta let His Word seep into our mind. Not these other things. You know, everything in this world is trying to rob you of your joy and your happiness. It is right now. I don't care what it is. It's negative. Most everything you're going to get into after you leave here today is going to be negative. Well, they didn't clean the table off at the restaurant. I mean, that's how quick it comes, right? I mean, you get out of here and that's how quick it comes. Simon Peter, you know what Paul did? And when you say, well, the New Testament. Yes, it's divine, okay? Listen what Peter said about Paul's writings. He says that his letters are difficult sometimes. They're hard to understand in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. But the untaught and unstable twist their own destructions, so they do also with the rest of the Scriptures. You hear what Peter's saying? He's putting the writings of Paul on the same levels with the Old Testament prophets. If the apostle Peter did that, who are we not to? Let me ask you this. This is one of the first verses I ever learned. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me ask you this. All of us want to see the Word of God affect our outward living, right? We do. And we think it should happen overnight. Let me ask you this. Are you even letting it affect your inward being? Because if it's not working in here, if you're not allowing it to churn up in here, change the way you feel, to change the way you think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You got to first pray, Lord, change my insides. How many of you don't want to forgive somebody who hurt you? Just say amen. No, I'm cutting up. Don't say it. But you know what? God said He wouldn't do anything that He would never ask, that He wouldn't empower us to do, right? But you got to read the Scripture, and the Scripture will change the inside. All right, number 3. We must be a church of faith, fellowship, and family. Thomas Village, as God is going to do a work in this church, we've got to be a church of faith, fellowship, and family. Look there in verse 42. They, the 3,000 that got saved, devoted themselves again to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now jump down to verse 46. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple. Uh-oh. and broke bread from house to house, and they ate their food with joyful and thankful hearts. Notice, again, they were devoted to the faith. They were allowing the apostles to teach them. They were allowing to pour them in there. And let me ask you this. Do you think that they were having one-on-one sessions? You think the apostles would go around and meet one? Man, there's 3,000 people, 12 of them. There ain't no way they was doing one-on-one. They might have been doing it with one, you know, training up another one behind them. But these were big sessions, man. They were getting together and they were allowing to teach and come together because there's something about it when the people of God come together. We've got to be a people of fellowship. A people of fellowship. Now, we're Baptists, so when we hear fellowship, first thing that comes to our mind is social hall, right? Social fellowship hall. And as a pastor, I reach for my fork in my back pocket. That's just the way it goes, right? But fellowship is, some of it is eating. Some of it is just sitting there and talking with somebody, looking at them across with the food flies out their mouth and all that kind of stuff. You can't put on airs when you eat around with somebody too much. But listen what fellowship means. It means a mutual association. It means we've got this in common. We have meals that are in common. But you know what? We've been called to the same church by the Holy Spirit. We got that in common. Many of us wouldn't even know each other if we didn't have that in common. It's about participation. It's about bearing one another's burdens. It's about being willing to contribute. That's what fellowship is. So there's faith. That comes from the Word. And the more we're together under teaching of the Word, we're going to have a common faith. Then there's fellowship, which is a mutual association, a participation, and a willingness to contribute. And then there's family. Notice it says they broke bread and prayed together. In verse 42, look at 46, it says, and they broke bread from house to house, and they ate their food with joyful hearts and thankful hearts. You know what? My wife will turn you away from the house if it's dirty. She'll catch you at the back door and say, nope, you ain't coming in. It's too dirty. But you know what happens when her mama comes over? It can be as dirty as all get out, and she'll let that woman come in the house. My friend, she won't. You know what it is? That's family. Her mama understands she ain't perfect. And we got to get to the point, Thomas Village, that we realize the person sitting next to us ain't perfect. And won't you just give them a break if they're not perfect in that one area? That one area. Maybe they need to give you a break. About your five areas. Y'all remember this song? You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and the folks are so dear. Y'all remember that song? You know what the name of it was? Family of God. And then you know what it says when you get to the chorus? Remember how that starts? How does it start? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Are you? Are you excited about being part of this family? This is a good family to be a part of. It's God's family. We're a chosen people here at Thomas Village. He's called us out and brought us together. And we're a family. And we need to be able to sing that song with meaning and heart. I'm a part of this family. And I'm not perfect, they're not perfect. But our Savior is. And His Spirit empowers us. And we can do more than what we ever thought. All right, number four. We must be a giving church. We must be a giving church. Look there in verses 45 and 46. Now all believers were together and they held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. And then you jump over just into chapter 4. This is reiterated. Chapter 4, verse 34. For there was not a needy person among them. Because all those who had land and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of them that were sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each person as they needed it, or their basic needs were taken care of. What does the Bible say about money? the love of money. The love of money. The value we place on it. The importance we place on it. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if people put more importance on money in the church than they did Christ? But you know what happened? Very much happens. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, and craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Many churches that God was wanting to work with, I've seen money issues come in and rip them apart. It starts with a rift. And there's been many churches that may not have been ripped apart, but you know what happened? The fire was burning. Things was getting a little stoked around there, and things started burning. And what happened? Money pours a cup of cold water on what God said. Can I tell you this? You'll never outgive God. You'll never outgive God. I have people, my wife gets on to me because I give half our money away, just to be honest with you. And you know them. They'll come to the door. I'll give them money. But here's my prayer. If they fool me, Lord, they fool me. But I give it with a good heart. I give it with a good heart. And I'm trusting. If you come back, I'm going to pin you down a little bit harder the next time. And I get the sad stories. We ain't got no gas and grandmama's up there in the hospital and she's having her thing. You know how many times I've heard that story? Hundreds, really. I hear it all the time. But do we really want to meet the Lord sitting on a fat stack of money? He says we can't take it with Him. He says we can't take it with us. I'm not saying spend it frivolously. I'm not saying that. I ain't even saying give me the check, but no. I don't want it. Don't even try it, okay? I'm cutting up. But what would it be like to stand before God and be a millionaire? And just say, Lord, I'm never really sure what you want me to do with it. Well, you ain't got on your knees very much, have you? In closing this morning, I'm going to ask the piano player and our song director to come. The church is amazing. God loves His. Christ built the church. It's His. And He lays out certain things that He wants to do. And He's ready to do some things in this church. Christ wants us to grow. But are we willing to grow? Thomas Village, are we willing to make Jesus the main thing at Thomas Village? I think He is. I really believe it. But we've got to be committed to keep it there, you know? Thomas Village, are we willing to make Scripture important in not only in our church, but in our own lives? Because, see, it's not going to affect the church until it begins to affect us inwardly. Are we willing to be a church of faith, fellowship, and family? Are we willing to forgive one another? Are we willing to recognize that, yes, they're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but He is perfect. And in our weakness, He is made strong. And then the last thing is are we going to be a giving church? And we are. We are a giving church. This is basically about a warning that we can't let financial and monetary and physical things be a reason for dissension and division. You know? Because all of it's going to fade away. Oh, every bit of it. Moths are going to eat it. Rust will devour it. And time will break it down. But the church will be His bride for an eternity. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would love to show you what it means to become a believer. And you won't have to take my word for it. I can show you in what God says. That's why I've read a lot of Scripture. You know I read a lot of Scripture. But that's where the authority comes from. It's not from me. It's not from the deacon board. It's not from our church covenant. It's from this book. And maybe today you've been saved, but you need to rededicate. You've lost that hunger for Christ. You've lost that love for the Word. Maybe today you just need to say, hey, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And Lord, I want you to know that. Maybe today you need to church. Don't join the church. Oh, it says that there was 300 added to the church that day, or to them that day. That was the first church, the church of Jerusalem there. But you know, a lot of those people left and went back to their own place, and they started a local church. But I tell you this, there ain't nothing like having a home church. I'm going to get us a sign out front. I talked to Sister Michelle and Sister Betty Bledsoe. I want to get us a sign out there and put it over those street doors that says, Welcome Home. welcome home. Don't care where you've been. Don't care if you ain't ever been here. Just welcome home. How many of you today just feel like you need to come home? Whatever the need is, I'm asking you to come and let God speak to you. Maybe you just want to pray for those that are lost, but let's stand as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a good day to be in your house, and I'm thankful for your scripture. I'm thankful for what you do, and Lord, I'm thankful that this is your church. It's not us. It's not what we do or we don't do. Everything, God, is because you allow it. And Lord, you've got a plan and a purpose, and the amazing thing is that you've brought us together in our imperfections, and you link us up together like gears and springs in a clock. And you accomplish something. So right now, whatever you need, what you're doing in our hearts and minds, Lord, I pray you do it in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing?
Brother, we have
amen. Maybe you just need to praise Him and lift up holy hands to Him. You know, that's a sacrifice sometimes, lifting your hands when you don't feel like it. You know what I mean? It's a sacrifice of praise. Maybe just an amen or thank you, God. The Lord is able.
In Jesus' name, I just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you allow your spirit to give her strength and give her peace. And Heavenly Father, Lord, that the Holy Ghost just do something within her that nobody else could ever expect. And God, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Sister, would you like to join the church this morning? Yes, we'll be here. All right. I'll let you. You just...
Does anybody have a word of praise or testimony this morning? Tonight we'll probably be looking back on examples of the attitude of ingratitude. And this morning's lesson is amazing because we preached out of Exodus, 3 weeks ago? But this morning it reminded us, so I don't have to do too much of a build-up this evening. But I'm going to ask Sister Townsend if she would come here and stand with me. Many of y'all know her. Y'all know her situation, but she's come wanting to be a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. We've asked her the three questions. Do you know Jesus? Are you willing to work? And if there's a sin issue rises in your life, just let us help you with it, all right? We promise not to judge you. But sister, is there anything you'd like to say this morning? Amen.
In Christ, because when you're home alone, it is so hard. The struggle is so real.
Amen.
Until you have a church family backing you up and loving you, that's what you need. Because I am so weak.
We all are, sister. Let's give the Lord a round of applause and let her know that we love her. You will be seated, okay? Anything else before we close out this morning? God bless you. Thank you for listening. And Lord willing, I see you tonight, all right? Brother, will you close us out in prayer?
Yeah.